Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. So great to be here. I know our hearts are going to be bursting wide open today with love, and we get to do it with a lot of laughter and humor along the way. I think that's really our paradigm now. We're heading into the laughter paradigm. we're jumping down the laughter, you might say the laughter rabbit hole. And we're not really coming back either. we're going down and remembering to laugh at the idea of separation, the very crazy, tiny, mad idea of separation. So that feels like that's the most precious thing that we can remember, is always remembering to laugh with the gentle laughter of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that just sees the error and then overlooks the error. Really, that's really what forgiveness is. It's seeing beyond the error entirely. So today we have a beautiful comedy movie that's very deep and profound. Some of you know that I like to call certain movies classic movies, because these are the ones you can watch over and over and feel the joy and the expansiveness that God is calling us to remember. And I think this movie really kind of encapsulates everything. We'll say it encapsulates the fall from grace, the belief that you can be separate from God, and then the slow opening up of the heart from being closed off, from being in a state of repression and denial. Opening more and more, wider and wider and wider to that bright light and that bright love of God. And it's a journey where we have to go from the no into the yes. And then we go from the yes into a more of a full yes. And then finally, the atonement, or the correction for the error, is the final yes. It's just yes without no. So some of you have followed along on our Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment. You know that there's a movie that we have called Waking Life. It was made by Richard Linklater. And you might want to go back and review that movie, because as he goes through the whole movie, the main character finally finds himself at a pinball machine, which, with the Richard Linklater character, he put himself in the animated movie. And basically, at the pinball scene, it's revealed that all of time, all of history is simply saying no to God. It's like God saying, are you ready to be one with me? And as long as the answer is no, then we have what seems to be a repetition of images that just seem to be coming like Groundhog Day every day. You wake up, you comb or you brush your hair, you brush your teeth, you know, you take your shower, you put on your clothes, and you go through yet another day, like the Beatles songs. Du, 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 du. It's just another day. Du, 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 du. It's just another day. You know, that's what the human condition seems to be. We just go through day after day. And in that movie, Waking Life, through Lady Gregory, in a dream that Richard Linklater had, he realizes, he's told that basically all of time, all of history is just saying no to God. And in the end, we say yes. And that's a matter of God's will for us, is to be in the yes to happiness. But while we believe in the ego, we are constantly saying yes and no. It's kind of like that Beatles song, you know, I don't know why you say goodbye, I say hello. Hello, hello. I don't know why you say goodbye, I say hello. Ho, 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 ho. Hello. The hello is the yes. And we have to go fully into the miracle to say our final yes. There's a section in A Course in Miracles, I think it's very profound. It's called The Last Unanswered Questions, in which Jesus poses four questions. And he gives you the first one, he gives you the second one, he gives you the third one. And he says in that section, you may have answered yes to the first three, but not to the final one. This is a very important section. It's called The Last Unanswered Question. And the last question, the fourth question is the last question is, do I want to see what I denied because it is the truth? Do I want to see what I denied because it is the truth? And what he means by that is, do I want to see with Christ's vision? Do I want to see the light because it is the truth? Do I want to end the game of deception, of idle image making, you know, and being caught up believing in a world of time? Do I want to end time and linear time by seeing what I denied, Christ's vision, because it is the truth? And what he says in that section is, you may have answered yes to the first three questions, but not to the last one. Because when you answer yes to the last unanswered question, you are making a definitive stand in your mind to not change your mind back to the no. So you can say yes and no to the first three, but not to the last question. The last question is really what the atonement's all about, that you have to make a final yes to God. Which just means I'm not going to vacillate. I'm going to see that yes means yes and no means no. Yes to God or no to God, what's it going to be? And in the end, to find our divine innocence, to find and experience happiness and joy, we have to say yes to the final question, the last unanswered question. Because until we answer the last question, which is takes us into a state of constancy or constant joy, constant vision, the vision of Christ, until we answer yes to the final question, then basically what we're doing is we're answering yes, but we're reserving the right to also answer no. And as Jesus told us in the workbook, the truth is true and only the truth is true. You have to accept both parts of the statement. Truth is true and only the truth is true. which is meaning yes is yes, and only yes is yes. It sounds like we're in kindergarten or preschool here, but we're talking at the level of mind. We're talking at the level of mind, because as long as there's a little scrap of self-doubt, then that means we still want to reserve the right to say no to God. Jesus is really trying to convince us that saying no to God is not a wise decision, because God is the creator. God is the source. God is our life, our eternal life, our being. And to try to live apart from God is to try to say no to God and to make up an identity of flesh, an identity of persons and personalities. And that's where the difficulties come in. That's where all challenges come in. It's all identity. It's all self-doubt. So when we really look at this, we start to realize that this is very important, this decision. Now, we may complain at times that we don't feel very worthy as a human being or very completely worthy as a person, and that's understandable. Jesus says, yeah, well, you can never be identified with the mask and know who you really are. So don't worry about having a better mask. Why don't you just drop the mask and accept who you really are? That seems to take time. That's why Jesus tells us in the Course, it's a course in mind training. So he's not trying to scare us. He's trying to say that you'll start off in a state of denial and repression, denying the light and repressing the true love that you are, the divine love. That's okay, he says. We're fine with fake. We know it. I went through it too, he says. You know, I had to go through the same temptation, the same conundrum. Fine with fake. Okay. It's a state of denial and repression. And we start by coming out of the denial and the repression by beginning to open our heart to miracles. So when we open up to be used as a miracle worker, we're saying, I want to say yes. I don't even know fully what I'm saying yes to. I mean, when I first picked up A Course in Miracles, and I thought, are you really calling me to be a miracle worker? And Jesus said, yes, I am. And I said, oh, I don't know if I'm qualified. I didn't know if I was qualified for graduate school, much less for being a miracle worker. And Jesus is like, that's what you're signing up for. That's what you're saying yes to. And it starts off with just those little bits of willingness to say yes during the day, like our prayer of our heart, use me, help me shine my light, help me bring a sense of comfort and blessing to the world and to everyone I meet. That's how it starts. And so every time that we seem to say yes throughout the day, that is just a little reflection of our willingness to be sincere about saying yes to God. So even if you only say yes to God, let's say 3 or 4 times during a whole day, from morning to night, those 3 or 4 are very important yeses, because those are symbols and demonstrations of your wish to be sincere, not just to play like a game or to, you know, use this whole thing of opening to God as if it's some kind of a pretense, you know, because this is not a course in play of ideas. This is a course in actually living and demonstrating the miracle. So when we start off with our little tiny yeses, those are our little willingnesses to say, I'm sincere about this. I really don't know fully what this entails, but I am willing to just be sincere in my yes. And then as we move further, our yeses become more frequent, and then ultimately they start to become a little more consistent. And we're just beginning to get into our function of miracle working. It doesn't mean it has to look a certain way in the world, but it means that you're more consistently open-minded and more consistently willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. And then as the denial and the repression are undone through miraculous expression, which is a reflection of creative expression from heaven, through this miraculous expression, then we become more willing to go toward the big yes, to answer the final question, you know, do I want to see what I deny because it is the truth? Do I want to see pure light and love and see my true identity in Christ's vision because it is the truth, not because of some worldly reason? In the end, the rewards are always internal because the kingdom of heaven is within. So you don't get like a gold watch or you don't get a trophy for remembering that you're the Christ. There are no physical rewards for this self-realization. There are no physical benefits to self-actualization. So we have to let go of these ego ideas like, what's in it for me? Because the me is the body. And when you go into I am as God created me, you're giving up all benefits as the ego would judge benefits. People tell me there's all kinds of relationships now. You know, there's heterosexual relationships, there's homosexual relationships, there's friends with benefits. We actually have to be willing to let go of all the categories and realizing that we were mistaken about all of the categories because we were mistaken about our identity being a body. That's the one commonality of all the different categories of interpersonal relationship. The one commonality of all beliefs around sexuality is the body. And you may remember one of Jesus's workbook lessons is, I am not a body, I am free. I am still as God created me. So he's taking us towards a decision in the mind that happily is irreversible. The final yes means yes for eternity. It means you don't want to change your mind about your identity. You just want to humbly accept it as God created it. So what I'm going to do is give you a little bit of setup for today's movie, and then we're going to play a song from the band. Anybody remember the band in the 1980s called Journey? Any Journey fans? I'm a Journey fan. That's it. That's going to be our warm-up band today for this amazing movie. The warm-up band is Journey. And we'll play a song from Journey that's basically in the movie, and also we'll play, it has the lyrics. So, yeah, you know, when you get to that part of the song, if he should ever hurt you, meaning if the ego should ever hurt you, true love will never desert you. That's the Holy Spirit's answer. That's Journey for you. That's the journey right there. If he, the ego, should ever hurt you, true love will never desert you. And it's emphasized at the end of the song, no, 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 no. There's no way that true love would ever desert you. The God of love doesn't abandon. The God of love doesn't reject. All of our ideas of abandonment and rejection are made up by the ego. And we believed it for a moment there. We were sucker punched. we weren't ready for that one. We believed in abandonment and rejection, and then we seemed to watch the dream play out, those crazy beliefs over and over, until we finally say yes to God and realize that God always was love and always is love and always will be love. So Our movie for today is called Yes Man. And of course, the main star, the main character is Jim Carrey, and he plays Carl. So this is why it's so helpful, because our main character, Carl, he's in pretty much denial and repression. And actually, the backstory behind the movie Yes Man is it's based on a book by Danny Wallace. There was an English man who named Danny Wallace, who went through a breakup, and he started to drift into loneliness and isolation and darkness. And he was on a bus one day over in England, and one of the passengers said, "You need to say yes much more often." That's how this whole movie started. Was Danny Wallace was told on a bus by a fellow traveler on the bus, "You need to say yes more often." And so Danny Wallace began the experiment for several months of taking the opportunity to say yes with whatever was presented to him. And he went into a state of ecstasy, much to his surprise, where he had been saying no to many things. He went into this glorious state of mind just from practicing saying yes to the opportunities that were presented to him. And the movie Yes Man that we're going to watch today is based on the book Yes Man. So I find some of the best movies are based out of people's experiences, where they just have an amazing experience and they want to share it with everybody. So they write a book. And then you bring in probably one of the greatest comedians that we will ever know. Let's hope that when you wake up and the angel comes, you get the angel of Jim Carrey at the door. As you finally remember to laugh, Jim Carrey's there to greet you at the pearly gates and go, "Yeah, what a trip. Aren't you glad that's not real?" And the beautiful thing about that is that it's showing us the possibilities that there is something beyond our perceptual world, that perhaps we have been mistaken about absolutely everything, not partially mistaken. Perhaps we were 100% mistaken about everything. Perhaps in this perceptual world, we never really knew anything. And because we never really knew anything, here's the big one: we never really understood anything about time and space. This is our problem. When we read books, we read them so that we can understand. And Jesus is telling us that even with the Course, you actually have to apply the lesson so fully that you are taken, you are lifted out of the perceptual realm, first through a happy dream and then beyond into the light of revelation. But when we live our life as if we're a body or a person and we're trying to read to understand, or even we're doing conversations, if we're trying to use our conversations to understand something first, Jesus is gently telling us, no, forgive first, and then you will understand. The forgiveness has to come first. The understanding doesn't come first. So I know many of us, we tried to understand A Course in Miracles intellectually, and let's just admit we failed on that. We have to say, okay, I didn't quite get there. I failed at that. That's good. It's a good thing to fail at that, because We have to forgive before we can understand. So we've tried to take the course like all of our other books. We tried to learn the course first and then apply it. And Jesus is saying, no, apply the course and then you'll understand what I'm talking about and you won't need the book. So this is a very comical movie today. It's from 2008. And it comes because we put out our movie poll again, asking you to vote on themes. And here are the themes that you voted on to bring about this Yes Man movie, this beautiful day of joy that we're going into. Coming in number one is giving a full yes to whatever is given. So that's been our problem. We've been trying to withhold our yes. And when things come toward us in our perception, some of them we push away and we call them a no. And some of them we want to welcome and embrace. But what Jesus is telling us is it's good to give a full yes to whatever is given. Because everything that we perceive in this world, in this entire cosmos, is for our awakening. Nothing is happening to us by chance. Nothing is happening by accident. And if you want to know, how can that be? It's because nothing is happening. That's why. That's the short answer. You might recall that Jesus says that in Lesson 132, that this single lesson the Course attempts to teach is that there is no world. And then he says, not everyone is ready to learn this, to accept this. But when he says there's no world, he is literally telling us in Lesson 132 that nothing at all is happening. You have been hallucinating something that's not there. That's Lesson 5, 6, and 7. I'm never upset for the reason I think. I'm upset because I see something that is not there. And finally, number 7, I see only the past. Those are the key ideas. And you can see from an egoic perspective, the ego is just like, oh, come on, that's hogwash. Obviously, things are happening. Well, in the ego's filter, they seem to be happening, but they're not obviously happening because they haven't. Even Helen Schuckman and Bill Thetford, they did ask Jesus at one point, how did this happen in the first place? And he had to bring it back to their perceptions and their emotions because he basically said, you believe that it did happen. That's your problem. You believe that separation from God is possible. You believe that graven images, you know, the Bible says, have no graven images before thy Lord thy God. You believe you not only have them, but they're happening every day, every year, over and over and over. That's how deep the mesmerism is. That's how deep the hypnotism. So coming in number two, the second theme that you voted for is letting joy and playfulness lead the way. Is anybody in with me on that? I think this is a good way to just spend the rest of our life now. You know, what are your future goals? Let joy and playfulness lead the way. Do you have any ambitions? Yes, let joy and playfulness lead the way. We are going. This may be our last all-day movie workshop, but we are going into we're going into the joy and playfulness workshop for every moment for the rest of our life. That's a paradigm shift. That's what we're going into. Number three, remember that error has already been corrected. Isn't that a relaxing idea? Remember that error has already been corrected. Imagine if somebody in the world would seem to accuse you of something. accuse you of anything, and all you can see in your mind's eye is this smile saying, remember, the error has already been corrected. Now you know how Jesus faced the cross and the seeming crucifixion. He was aware that the error was already corrected. So it wasn't an extremely difficult day for him because of this awareness. Number four, experiencing what truly loving my brother means. We are going into the experience of the second commandment of the Ten Commandments, love thy neighbor as thyself. Literally, see that the love that you are is the same as the love of your neighbor, that you really are literally the same self. And number five, accept that Jesus has perfect faith in me. Accept that Jesus has perfect faith in me. That would mean that no matter what you think you've done wrong or what you think you've done mistakenly, that Jesus's faith, the faith of the Holy Spirit, is perfect faith. There's absolutely perfect faith. So that means that anytime the ego tries to build a case against you, against your mind, against you, just remember that perfect faith is always there. There's always a kind, gentle smile. There's always sweet eyes looking at you. Or as there's a group called Bliss, and they have a song, 100,000 Angels. Imagine that you're just surrounded by 100,000 angels every time you believe you've messed up, every time you believe you took a wrong turn or made a mistake. Think of the wings. That's 200,000 wings around you, surrounding you. 200,000 white wings are around you, reminding you that you're more surrounded, like you're like a beacon of light in a pile of fluffy white pillow, feather pillows, and angels all around you. That's the kind of thing we have to remember when we go through this world. Because the temptation of the ego is to get down on ourselves, to feel like we made a wrong turn somewhere where we messed up. But today's movie will be a strong reminder of just keeping the faith and staying in the yes to the miracle. So, everybody, get comfortable, relax. We're going to have a song from Journey to start it off. This has got to be one of the greatest love songs because it feels like it's a love song from God to us, reminding us that true love will never desert us. No matter what the appearances seem to be, true love is not going anywhere. It's always there for us. It's always there as our true reality. So I will come back and join you during the movie. Be prepared to laugh. I can't think of any better way to shift into the yes than through a comedy. I think every time anybody is telling me something that seems to be a challenge, I just pray in my heart to see it from the eyes of the comical. Because when we're in the comical, we cannot take anything serious, you know. That's my prayer. Show me the comical version of this and be ready for that, because it can be quite funny when it dawns on your mind. So enjoy the movie, and I will pop in from time to time, and then we'll have a break at the end and some prayers and questions and answers. And then, Eric and Kristen will come on at the very end too to give us a little sneak peek of coming attractions in the summer of love. We should have a Beach Boy theme for this summer, I think. Okay, see you all. Enjoy the movie. So this is showing us the human condition. Basically, the ego belief in separation is ultimately a decision in the mind. So if you have decided to believe in the ego, you can also decide not to believe in it. You see, it's just a belief, it's a decision, but you can reverse the decision. Now, the ego belief is that separation from God is possible, and that's a lie. So everything in the entire cosmos, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, the black holes, everything on planet Earth, everything in perception is a projection of the belief in separation. So all the five senses are just witnessing to the false. The original error, or what the Bible called the original sin, was just the belief that it's possible to separate from spirit, separate from eternal life, separate from eternal love. And then what this world is to the ego is a projection that is a smokescreen. It's a distracted device that is being used by the ego to keep the mind from letting go and turning inward and saying yes to God and waking up to the kingdom of heaven. So basically, everything about this world is an attempt to adjust to a lie. What is the lie? The ego belief is the lie. The world is an attempt to adjust to the lie by making up an identity that will satisfy the mind. Because the ego has said, well, you threw away God, now you've got to make the best of it. And so the personality identity is the attempt to make the best of it, but it's attempt to adjust to the lie. That's why no human being, no mind identified as a human being knows the peace of God or knows perfect contentment. All it knows is judgments, preferences, likes, dislikes, opinions. That's all that it seems to know, which is not knowing at all. It's just the attempt to adjust to the lie of the ego. So we look at Carl. Carl he works at a bank, financial institution. He's had a breakup from his girlfriend. He's facing loneliness. He's facing isolation. He's facing depression. And he's still going to work, but he has a boss who just said, oh, I was just fighting for you for a promotion. So the boss seems to be reflecting all of the people-pleasing that the main character has. And that's why everything that seems to surround us when we believe in separation is there by the ego's election. It's there by projection to keep us playing small, to keep us feeling limited. What Jesus tells us in A Course in Miracles, he says, your Father knows that you have need of nothing. In heaven, this is so, for what could you need in eternity? In your world, you do need things. It is a world of scarcity in which you find yourself because you are lacking. Yet can you find yourself in such a world? Without the Holy Spirit, the answer would be no. Yet because of him, the answer is a joyous yes. So we can see this starts off with the human condition. He's pretending, even with his best friend on the phone, he's pretending that he's not available. He's in such a state of deception that he won't even answer the phone for most people. And when he does answer, he answered with bonjour. He answered to try to pretend he was someone else. And then when he finally got to talk to his friend, he basically was saying, I'm busy tonight. I've got a thing. And eventually his friend calls him on it and says, I'm looking at you. I'm right outside the store, the video store. And finally, after many defenses to try to pretend that he's not in a video store, that he's in his apartment, he finally comes outside. And you can see how the lie of the identity means that you don't have a sense of integrity. You don't have a sense of honesty. You don't have a sense of consistency. Your words are not accurate when you're in a state of isolation and fear and loneliness. And that's basically the human condition. And so this movie is going to show us how the Holy Spirit can work to be a mediator between this belief in separation and the world of images that was made by the ego to reinforce the separation. It's a closed system. Everything the five senses show the mind were designed and made by the ego to keep the mind asleep. And that's why it can seem like such a difficult journey that takes so much faith and trust and persistence. It's because you have to become 100% intuitive to reach the joy that's in your heart. But it's you might say, easier said than done, because the ego will attempt to defend against the Holy Spirit with many, a myriad of a whole array of defense mechanisms, and they're on display in this movie with Carl. he's got them all fully for us to see, like a peacock with all of its many colored feathers. These are all the defenses that the ego has against the truth. Okay, here we go. We're watch the shifting of the human condition here. Okay, so we could say that in this movie, Terrence is like, he was called like a mind grenade. But the Holy Spirit is not a mind grenade. The Holy Spirit is a mind spark, is a mind reminder that there's another way. And Terrence's metaphysics are not actually very good. He said that he talked about consciousness, and then he said, where does consciousness come from? And he said, it comes from the external. No, I would tell you right now that consciousness is the belief in an external. That's what consciousness is. Jesus tells us in A Course in Miracles that consciousness is the domain of the ego. That's pretty strong words, you know, for those of us that have been on the spiritual path and studied Eastern religions and Eastern philosophies and everything, and studied psychology. He's telling us consciousness is the domain of the ego, and consciousness arose with the first split, with the first belief in separation from God. So we've studied many, many philosophies, many teachings and everything, and occasionally you will even hear people use the word Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness is actually an oxymoron, because Christ is pure spirit and consciousness is the domain of the ego. So when you say Christ consciousness, it's like saying Christ, domain of the ego. That makes no sense. Christ, domain of the ego. So even Christ consciousness is an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms. And consciousness is the belief that there is externals. The whole point of A Course in Miracles and the training, mind training in the workbook, is to see that the inner and the outer, what seems to be in your mind, what seems to be outside of your mind, are actually not different, because everything is mind. Everything is in mind. I'm not talking about mind the way a lot of Eastern mystics and masters talk about it, like get rid of your mind and the problem is the mind and everything. I'm talking, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's telling us that you are mind, holy mind, and purely mind. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. You are nothing but mind, and you are an idea in the mind of God. This means we have to forgive and release a lot of those theories and spiritual stepping stones that we had before, because again, there is no such thing as Christ consciousness. This is again trying to mix two things that don't have a meeting point. It's like saying Christ consciousness is like saying light dark or light split or Christ split, Christ domain of the ego. They don't go together. So that's an important metaphysical distinction to have, because you start to realize that there is no escape from this world in consciousness. This is going against a lot of the Eastern teachings too, because consciousness is the domain of the ego. You don't escape the ego in the domain of the ego, you see? You have to go beyond the ego. You have to go beyond consciousness. So we might say that the very tippy top of consciousness, where you start to lift off from the belief in an external world, is the awareness of dreaming. There's actually one part in the text where Jesus says that the function of God's teachers is awareness of dreaming. Awareness of dreaming does not involve the body. That is an awareness that, like when, you know, when Muji talks about pure awareness or non-dual awareness, or when Rupert Spira talks about non-dual awareness, we're talking actually in Course in Miracles terms of dreamer of the dream. And Jesus says, you are the dreamer of the world of dreams. No other cause does it have or ever will. So this awareness is actually not synonymous with consciousness. It's basically a perspective, like a witness self, an observing, dreaming witness self that's aware of consciousness, but is also aware that it's not real. That's the key. That's why Jesus was so defenseless. That's why Jesus transcended the world. You know, in the Bible, it says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's talking about being the dreamer of the dream. And in that position, a witness self of dreamer of the dream, there are no distinctions or differences. There is no distinction between a body that's bleeding on a cross or a body that's taking a walk on a sunny day in Galilee with the apostles. There's no difference between any of the fragments or any of the images in that dreamer of the dream state, because everything is unified. We could call it unified awareness. But unified awareness is transcending consciousness. So it's important to realize that you won't find the escape from consciousness in the realm of consciousness. You understand that? You cannot escape from consciousness inside of something that's the domain of the ego. This is not some theory. This is Jesus Christ telling us in A Course in Miracles the way it is, in a very matter-of-fact way. If we talk about psychology, Jesus is the master psychologist. If we talk about avatars and spiritual saints and mystics, no, the Christ is beyond consciousness. The Christ is the I am presence that is one with God. That's why Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So basically, you start to realize that consciousness seems to be the level in which the words of the Course are trickling down into consciousness. And yet, when Jesus addresses us, he's truly always addressing our mind. And he's truly always inviting us to fully go into mind, so fully that we realize that everything is mind. That's why when people talk about sickness, usually when people talk about sickness, they're talking about body symptoms. And yet Jesus says, the mind was sick, the thought the body could be sick. If you believe that you have ever had body symptoms, ever, then you believe something that's not true. Because the body is a wholly neutral thing to the Holy Spirit, and the body is not capable of being sick. I'm not talking about that could or could not, but he's saying, don't think that the projection, the body or the projection is sick. It's the mind that's perceiving the world as external to itself. That's what is sick. Consciousness itself is a definition of sickness. Domain of the ego, it's the first split. That's sickness right there, to believe in a split, to believe in a separation from God. So we can start to see in this movie that the beginning steps are you first have to say yes. You first have to admit, which Carl was there. He had a very scary dream with his friends and a fly on his eyeball and a fly going into his mouth as he's laying there not moving. He had a very scary nightmare, and he woke from it, and right away he grabbed the flyer, you know, the little brochure for Yes Man. He goes to the convention, and you can see the whole place is loaded with Yes Men and women. and Terrence is like the mind grenade. The first step in truly escaping from the ego is to embrace the yes. You don't even have to know exactly what that means. You just have to feel it in your heart. Let's say your heart says to you, yes, there is another way. Yes, life is more than this world. Yes, I can experience true happiness, true love, true freedom, true peace. Just say yes to that. And then once you say yes to that, that ignites, that sparks an awakening, which takes you into a series of opportunities where the ego would not have you go, because the ego doesn't want you escaping from consciousness. The ego wants you to forever be stuck in the belief in consciousness, in the split. So we're going to see now, as he's gone to this convention, Yes Man convention, that he's going to show us that just by saying yes, even if you don't fully know what that means, it's the first step in opening up to the miracle. And that's important. You know, we cannot dismiss the first step in opening to the miracle. That experience is designed to give us a contrast experience to depression, a contrast experience to frustration, loneliness, isolation. We're praying with that initial little willingness for it to say yes to what we don't know. It's stepping away from predictability. It's stepping away from repetition. It's stepping away from the same old, same old, same old. It's stepping into the new in the mind and saying, I need something fresh. I need something that's going to truly help me. I need something that's going to save me. And that something is this spark inside, this spark of light. If you've been addicted to know, if you've been living in fear, doubt, denial, and you are filled with sarcasm, filled with no sense of consistency or integrity, when you take your first few opportunities to say yes, the ego will rear up and try to get you back in the know, because the ego is by definition a no to God, because it's a belief in separation from God. So once you begin to take those first little steps, is basically you're giving opportunities to trust. And basically, when you get to the back of A Course in Miracles, to the manual for teachers, we're told that all the characteristics of a teacher of God depend on the first one, which is trust. And that if the trust goes, all the rest will go as well. So really, our curriculum is, when we take those first few yeses, what we're doing is we're saying we sincerely desire another way. And even with the scribe of A Course in Miracles, Helen Schuckman and her collaborator, Bill Thetford, they had to have a moment of joining where Bill had to say, there has to be another way to live. And then unexpectedly for him, Helen Schuckman said, yes, you're right, Bill, and I'll join you in it. There has to be a joining with the Holy Spirit in trusting in the awakening, in trusting that there's something guiding you. You can call it your intuition if you don't like the words Holy Spirit or Jesus. You can call it your higher self. You can call it whatever you want. Call it Fred. Doesn't matter. Call it anything. Anita. Just, it doesn't matter. You can call it know me, even though it's really the remembrance of the real me. You can call it whatever you want. Doesn't matter. God is not offended by words. God did not make up words anyway, so you don't have to worry about offending God. But the thing about it is, when you take those first few steps of yes, then the darkness will come up. The doubt will come in strong because the ego doesn't want you following the path of the yes. The ego wants you to stay stuck in the no and to believe you know something, to stay in the no. And that's going to be a key, because as soon as you say yes and you start to follow through, that will start to build confidence in the guidance. Guidance is something that, you know, is actually, I find it essential, and I find it something that when people say, I'm not guided or I will never be guided, they're basically saying they're terrified of the spirit. They're terrified of the light, because guidance is a means, part of the miracle, means through prayer of waking up. And when you say, I don't believe in guidance, I don't believe in intuition, that is just an expression of the fear of the light.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.